Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26, this is the reading of God's Word. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, "Get up and go south to the road that leads down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road." So he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, and high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip, "Go and join that chariot." When Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "How can I," he said, "unless someone guides me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the scripture passage he was reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." The eunuch said to Philip, "I ask you, who is the prophet saying this about, himself or someone else?" Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized?" So he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip appeared in Azotus, and he was traveling and preaching the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Did you notice anything odd about the conclusion of that story? The Spirit of the Lord took him and he appeared at Azotus? What in the world is that talking about? Well, do you know, that is a remarkable and miraculous thing, and hopefully we'll talk about that a little bit this morning. But that's really not the point of the story. There's a much greater miracle that happens in this story, and that is the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. For God to take a material object, let's say a man, and move him from here to here instantly, supernaturally, is amazing. But it's really not as amazing as for God to take a person who is dead in trespasses and sins and make him alive in Christ Jesus. For God to take a person who by nature is unholy and make him holy. For God to take a person who has a heart of stone and give him a heart of flesh. For God to take a person who is destined for hell and make him a beloved child who will spend eternity with Jesus Christ. That, dear friends, is a much greater miracle. And that's the part we want to zero in on first. Now, Philip is having a wonderful ministry. Lots of people are coming to faith in Samaria. And things are going really well. There's great joy. There's celebration. The Holy Spirit has now been poured out. The apostles have come, and God has, through them, validated their authority and demonstrated that this really is his work, and these people really are genuinely saved and part of the family of God. And the fact that they were Samaritans has nothing to do with their status in the kingdom. They're not less in God's family because of their ethnic background, because of their national history, because they had some weird religious ideas prior to meeting Jesus. And they've now met Jesus, because that's what happens when someone believes the gospel. You say, you talk about meeting Jesus, knowing Jesus. I don't get that. Well, when you get it, you'll get it. You see, Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead, and he's alive. So, Pastor Wood, have you seen him physically? No. Well, I mean, so, but you hear him talking in your ear. No. But he communicates. Number one way, through his word. Number two, he sometimes will impress upon us things that he has said so that it's not just remembering a Bible verse. It's like, and I'm like, oh, hadn't thought of that. Yes, that's exactly right. Your word is true. I need to do what you say. When I'm headed this way and God says, do that, I know it's not me because that's not what I would normally do. So where did that thought come from? Well, it could be from God. It could be just my crazy. It could be an attack of the enemy. How do I know which it is? Well, the first test is, does it line up with God's word? Okay? If it doesn't line up with God's word, it's definitely not God. But if it does line up with God's word, doesn't have to be a Bible verse. I mean, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that says buy the silver car. But I'll tell you, every now and then, God just puts it in your heart to do something, and you say, really? And so here's how you know. If it's not contrary to Scripture, here's how you know whether or not it's the Lord. If you believe it's the Lord, you say, Lord, I think this is you, so I'm going to do this. If you don't want me to do it, please block it. And sometimes he blocks it, but most of the time he says, yep, you got it right. Because with practice, you learn to discern the Lord's leading. The book of Hebrews talks about that. Those who, with practice, putting it into practice, have learned to recognize whether something is of God or not. Now, the reason that's important is because Philip is in the midst of a thriving ministry, and an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road. What was the command? Get up and go. So he got up and went. Please make note of that. The angel of the Lord commanded him, get up and go. Verse 27, so he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch and a high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. Please don't miss that. This guy was a very important man. And when He had come to worship in Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem's in turmoil. Christians are being persecuted. And yet there's this story going around that the Messiah has come. And this guy doesn't really know what that's about. He believes that the Jews have it right as far as there being one creator God who rules over all. And Jerusalem is his place where he's to be worshipped. And people come from all around, including this eunuch from Ethiopia. But he does not understand what it's all about. Now, he has great wealth and influence because of his position back in Ethiopia. And that's one of the reasons he was able to take a copy of the scripture with him. The scriptures had to be hand copied. You didn't have one in your home. You had to go somewhere in order to study it as part of a group who chipped in together in order to have a copy. And it was no small thing. This man had come to worship in Jerusalem, and he was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. Again, this is not a little chariot like you see in the chariot races in Ben-Hur. Okay? He's got a driver, because you can't read the scroll very well while you're doing this. All right? So somebody else is driving. He's sitting in the nice limo seat. And when Philip comes, he invites Philip to come up and sit with him in his chariot as they ride along. And now they're going to have a discussion. So I just want you to get the image there, who this guy is and what's going on. He was reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip, go and join that chariot. Now, he obeyed the angelic messenger. Here, he obeys the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit told him, go and join that chariot. And so what's the next verse? When Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? Here's what I don't want you to miss. Well, here's the first thing I don't want you to miss about this. When the Spirit prompted him to do it, he didn't say, okay. He ran up to the chariot. He was eager to obey. He was eager to do the will of God. When the Spirit prompted him to do something, he ran up to the chariot. Well, he had to, or he wouldn't have caught the chariot. Exactly. Exactly. But he didn't say, I don't have a chariot, and I'm on foot, and that guy is being drawn by horses, and I don't think I can catch it. He ran. Sometimes in order to do the will of God, you've got to exert yourself. You have to do something that requires energy and that might, especially in the desert, cause perspiration. You understand? I mean, I've heard so many excuses. Just makes me sick. Oh, I can't. It's not convenient. I'm not wired that way. That really makes me uncomfortable. That's not the way I grew up. I've just never really felt like, you know, that's me. The Spirit said, go join yourself to that chariot. He did what it took to obey. That's what it comes down to. A lot of us want miraculous witnessing opportunities, and when God tells us, I want you to do this, we're like, oh, well, I can't do that. I mean, there's no way. I just can't do that. Sorry. You can do whatever God tells you to do. If Jesus says, come, you can walk on water. You can do whatever God tells you to do. Don't ever think that obedience is out of reach. He ran. And when he ran, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. God didn't say, you're about to go and bring the gospel to this man. The Lord just said, go. He went. The Lord says, go join the chariot. He goes to join the chariot. He hears the scriptures being read aloud, and he asks a wonderful question. Do you understand what you're reading?
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
The passage that he was reading was this: he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shears, so he does not open his mouth. And the eunuch said to Philip, I ask you, who's the prophet saying this about? And so, beginning with that scripture, Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus. Wonderful thing. If you really know Jesus and you know his word, you can start anywhere because it's all about him. You can start in the book of Psalms. You can start in 1 Kings. You can start in Genesis. You can start in Malachi. You can start anywhere. The more you know his word, the more you see it all ties together and it all points to Jesus. So as they were traveling down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? So he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, I thought Philip was telling him the gospel. He is. Well, how'd this guy even know about baptism? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's actually part of the gospel. If you read Jesus' commission when he's telling his followers how they're to go out and make disciples, he says, you're to go and baptize them. Why? Because baptism is a picture of what Jesus did for us and our union with him. And so when we are put under the water and brought back up, it's a picture of Jesus who died and was buried and was raised again on the third day. When Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, I want to remind you of what the gospel is. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. Baptism's a picture of that. And it's a picture that God says we're supposed to be a part of. That is a matter of obedience, doing what God says. I'm going to do this because God says I should, because this is a witness. This is a demonstration of what he has done for me. That's why you get baptized. I always ask people when I'm going to baptize them, why do you want to be baptized? We're saved on the basis of what Jesus did for us. And baptism is a picture of that. He died, he was buried, and he was raised again to life. That's why the Ethiopian eunuch said, look, there's water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? It's about doing what God says and being a part of the picture that God instituted that reminds us of the price that was paid for our salvation and the new life that is ours in Christ Jesus. So Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. Because it's there in the text, I have to say it. He didn't say, have you got a cup? Let me go get some water. You don't even have to get out of the chariot. I'll be right back. They went down into the water and he baptized him. You ask any observant Jew what that looks like. And it involves getting dunked all the way under the water. The rabbis even write extensively about the importance of making sure that the entire body is fully immersed. Because they know what the word baptism means. And they were doing it as a ritual thing before Jesus was born. Just like they were celebrating Passover. But they didn't know what it really was pointing to. The Passover was pointing to Jesus. And so does baptism. It's all about him, remember. So, when they came up out of the water, whoosh, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch didn't see him any longer, but went on his way rejoicing. How cool would that be? This is not the typical mode of transportation for deacons in the book of Acts, okay? It's not how he got to where the chariot was. God could have done that. It would have been very impressive. Imagine if you're the Ethiopian eunuch riding along, reading the scriptures out loud, and all of a sudden, Philip just appears in the chariot, okay? Philip would have gone with that. The eunuch would have been impressed. It would have given instant credibility. Okay. Wow, who are you? I am here to share with you the good news regarding Jesus Christ. I mean, I think that would be cool. And if I wrote the Bible and it was just made up stuff, that's the kind of stuff I'd put in, you know, because that's the kind of stuff I'd still like for God to do all the time. Okay. I would love it. I mean, and there are places when he does that kind of thing. There are places where, Moses, for example, is told by God, what is that in your hand? It's my staff. Throw it down. He throws it down. It turns into a snake. God says, pick it up. I'd say, no way. You know, that's a really cool trick, but I've seen enough. But he has to pick it up, and God says, by the tail. That's not the way you pick up a snake generally, okay? Because if you pick it up by the tail, it can turn around and bite your hand. You want to grab it right behind here. Actually, you don't want to grab it. Just don't do that. But I mean, there's cool stuff like that. God says to Moses, take your hand, put it inside your coat. God says, okay, pull it out and look at it. He doesn't say look at it, but he knows that's going to happen. He says, pull it out. He pulls it out, and it's covered with leprosy. I would start getting hesitant to do what God says. Wouldn't you? It's like, please don't ask me to put my other hand in there. You know? Thank God he didn't say my arm. You know, but it's just the hand now. He's got leprosy. That's a bad thing. God says, put it back in there. Okay. He puts it back in. He pulls it out. And the leprosy's gone. Okay, that's cool. God does stuff like that whenever he chooses. But I want you to see the person that he did that with was a guy who had already obeyed him when God said, I want you to go to this place out in the desert. And he went, and God said, I want you to join yourself to that chariot. And he ran to do it. If you want to see the miraculous in your life, the place to start is with obeying what God's already told you. Do what he says, because that is the context for these miracles. Is there any other place in the Bible where it talks about folks being transported like that? Yeah, go back and read about the life of Elijah, 1 Kings 18, 2 Kings 2. So Elijah, I mean, he went up in a chariot of fire. I mean, I think that's a little different. Yeah, that is different. As a matter of fact, there's nobody else in the Bible that it says that happened to. Jesus, when he left, didn't even need a chariot. Okay? I mean, Jesus was just lifted up into the clouds and disappeared from sight. That's cool, isn't it? Can God still do this stuff today? Yes, he still does amazing things today. But the reason there aren't 24 instances of this in the scriptures is because God doesn't do this kind of thing very often. He does as he sees fit. God has great things in store for all who are his. Trust him. He loves you more than you can imagine. You do what he says, and it'll be hard sometimes, but you will never regret obedience.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.